You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Hi, I'm Joe Heath.
I'm Tony Heath.
And this is the Watches on a Rassilon, and we wanted to give you guys a little bit of a heads up about what you're about to listen to.
What are they about to listen to?
You don't know. I just started recording. You have no idea. This is a bonus episode that we recorded for our Patreon and the ESO Network Patreon. We're giving it to you guys as a Christmas gift.
Merry fucking Christmas.
Should I
not have cursed? I'll do one where I don't curse.
Okay, it's fine.
Merry Christmas!
Please don't re-gift.
No, please do re-gift.
Oh, yeah. Share.
Share
this podcast. Re-gift the fuck out. I'm sorry. Re-gift this.
Re-gift this. Send it to people and then tell them this is what you got them for Christmas.
A free podcast episode. But yeah, these are little bonus episodes that we do. I am going through all of the, spinoff.
He's literally reading shit that's on the back of, cards you get from gum.
That's true, I am. This episode is the first TV comic strip of the Doctor, which is Doctor Who. You'll hear all about it. It's the Klepton Parasites. If you like this that you're about to listen to, you can hear more of these on the ESO Network Patreon and our Patreon. You can get to our Patreon by going to patreon.com/watchathon. It's $5 a month to get these episodes. You get them a week early at the $5 level on the ESO Network Patreon. Help out one of us, and that's how you get them. We've got three episodes up by now, I think. Maybe only two. I don't know how to count. I just sent one off. It may be up. It may not be. I'm not sure yet. But like I said, if you want to get more of those, you can check out the ESO Network Patreon or our Patreon, which is patreon.com/watchathon. And it's only $5 a month for all these glorious goodies.
Goodies.
But thank you guys for listening. And if you're a Patreon, thank you for supporting the show. And happy holidays. Merry Christmas. All those other holidays.
All the other good ones.
Happy Hogswatch.
Happy Candle Nights.
Kwanzaa. Hanukkah.
Hanukkah's over.
Happy late Hanukkah. And Happy New Year, too. Why not?
Yeah.
Let's throw that in there. We're going to play a quick little ad for the ESO Network Patreon, and then we'll be back for the actual episode that we recorded in the past. Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
Did you know the ESO Network has a brand new Patreon? That's right. We're asking for your help, and you could do it for as little as $1 a month. Don't fret, all your favorite shows will still be available for free as always, but you can get exclusive podcasts and more not heard anywhere else but on our Patreon. To sign up for the ESO Network Patreon's easy. All you have to do is go to esopodcast.com and click on the link. With your support of the ESO Network, it's you who will reap the rewards.
Hi, I'm Joe Heath.
I'm Tony Heath.
And this is the Watchathon of Rassilon.
Is it?
Yeah, it's a bonus episode.
Oh.
Bonus episode, so.
Do we have a special bonus episode theme music?
No, it's the same as the regular one.
Oh.
This is the first bonus episode that Tony's been a guest on. Welcome to my podcast. You are a guest on the bonus episodes because you don't normally do them. I mean, this is only the second one.
Oh, you were like, hey, what if we did the podcast but more? And I was like, no.
Also, it would require you to consume a lot more than just the TV episodes. It'd be like an entire novel or something.
Yeah, you're like, I'm going to read literally every fucking novel and every fucking comic and every piece of Doctor Who media there ever was in order.
Which means I'm about to do a lot of kind of not great comic strips, which that's what we're going to talk about today. The Klepton Parasites, which was a comic in 10 parts, 2 pages a piece, so that's 20 pages, that were in a magazine called TV Comic, issues 674 to 683. And that was from November 9th, 1964 to January 11th, 1965.
What was airing then?
Luckily, I have that in my notes. These issues came out around the same time that Planet of the Giants, or Planet of Giants, The Dalek Invasion of Earth, and The Rescue. It was during that time period.
Got it.
True facts!
So yeah, you said you would do these shitty comics because they're kind of shorter.
Because they were short, and I could do it.
And yet it has taken you months to actually read it.
Yeah.
I've sent it to you three times. I've read it myself four times because you're like, yeah, we'll do it tonight. And then you didn't read it. Every single time I've been like, let's do it tonight. And you don't read it. I've reread the whole thing.
To be fair, I've been feeling not great.
Uh-huh.
I did hit my head pretty hard.
Well, that's this time. What about the other three times?
Oh, the other three times?
Yeah.
Didn't wanna.
Fair enough. But yeah, you said you would do these shorter comics. Do you still feel like you're going to do that in the future?
Your definition of shorter and my definition of shorter might be different.
Technically, this is shorter than a normal issue of a comic. This is only 20 pages.
When you said short, I thought you meant like, there's like four panels.
You mean like a comics? You thought it was like a comics?
Well, yeah, technically, I thought I was going to be reading the funnies.
I mean, technically, this is a cult, but this is like an arc. Every issue only had two pages, and there's, but it was in 10 parts.
I thought I was only
going
to have to read two pages at a time.
Some of them might actually be that short.
Well, here's what happened.
I'll tell you what, in the future, I'll give you this is how many pages it is, and you say yes or no
You could just send me two pages at a time, like over a period of time, and I'm actually more likely to do it that way.
Okay.
Than to, like, sit down and read 20 pages. I'm never gonna do that.
That's a comic! How do you not read, like, comics?
I read plenty of good comics.
Yeah, that's
fair. Guys, these aren't great.
Let's talk about it. How do you want to go about this? Do you want to give, like, a quick overview of what the story is?
You need to read at least a page in the... Guys, I still didn't actually read this comic. I started to. And then Joe read the rest of it to me. And it's a lot more fun because he does the voices.
I'll read you guys the first page to give you some flavor. Actually, I'll read you the first segment because the doctor's not on the first page. And then we can give our comments on it as we go. And then we'll talk about the rest of it. I'm not going to read the whole fucking thing.
Yeah, I just want I want everyone to know how nice it is to have Joe read you things.
Doctor Who! In the far distant future, the Thanes have lived happily and peacefully for many years. But one day, strange, menacing creatures hover over the city. We are the Kleptons. We will take over your cities and your land. You Thanes will be our slaves. Who are they? Where have they come from? What are they going to do? The Kleptons' flying machines swoop down. Help! Help! They're picking us up like toys. The Kleptons are capturing our people, and there's nothing we can do to stop them. Fine work, Kleptons. We have taken our hostages. The first stage of our plan to enslave the Thanes is successful. Now for the second stage. Minutes later, thick creepers suddenly spring up all over the Thane city. Run for your lives! These creepers are growing at a fantastic speed. The Kleptons must be behind this. They are out to destroy us. The strange plants crush buildings and bring them crashing down. My friends, we are doomed. We have lived in peace for so long that we have no weapons to defend ourselves with. Unless help comes, the Kleptons will crush us. Who will save them, Tony? Who, indeed.
So, yeah, that's the first page of this comic. I think that gives you a pretty good idea of what they're like. They're like a cardboard cutout of what makes Doctor Who good. Like a half version of it.
It's very exposition-y, like, constantly, too. Like, and here's the thing, because it was done two pages at a time, I feel like they had to, like, oh, shit, we gotta refresh everybody on everything. So they'll just shove it into dialogue really clumsily. Like, this is the thing that does the thing that does that thing that we already said 30 billion times. Which makes sense, but is also terrible to read all at once.
We should also say, so, the character is Doctor Who.
Yeah, do you want me to read the second page since it lets you know who the Doctor and the companions are?
Yeah, do it. Just going back to the first page, I really like that the Kleptons are like, this is who we are, and we're here to enslave you. And the Thanes are like, who are they? Why are they here?
it's like you've got the answer before the question. So
you guys just aren't very good listeners. They're the Kleptons, and they're here to enslave you. Try to keep up.
What would you describe the Kleptons?
They are literally described in the comic as bug-eyed monsters.
They look kind of like sideways fish. I don't know.
Yeah, they got little, like, Hoover mouths.
And ears, too. Like, their heads look like a piece of candy.
Ew.
Like the little wrapped ends, you know?
No.
Are their ears?
Gross.
Yeah. Okay, so also I want to say that this doctor is based on William Hartnell.
Yes.
So it's not just like a random doctor. It's not.
It is Doctor Who. The character's name is Doctor Who.
Much like Peter Cushing's.
Played by William Hartnell. And he has two grandchildren.
Yeah. Let's get to their introduction, because this is the most backwards fucking thing.
I love it.
All right. Across time and space to a peaceful road in England, where John and Gillian, or Jillian, I'm not sure which it is. It's spelled with a G, though. Look for their grandfather. They're looking for their grandfather. Okay. Number 16. That's grandfather's number, Gillian. But it's only a yard, not a house at all. A police box. Grandfather can't live in there. I've been told he's an inventor or something. Anyway, the door's open. I'm going inside. Okay. They've only been given the address to their grandfather?
And
they just
never
dropped off in the middle of fucking street?
And they've never met him at all.
Yeah, because this is the next scene. They go inside the police box, which looks like the TARDIS. And there's the console, standard First Doctor console. John and Gillian gasp in amazement. But it's not a police box after all. Excuse me, we're looking for our grandfather, Doctor Who. You must be John and Gillian. How nice to meet you. So, wait a second. They don't know what their grandfather looks like.
No.
They walk into this weird fucking box in the middle of, like, just an empty yard. And they say, we're looking for Doctor Who. And he's like, oh, that's totally me.
I'd like to know what.
Nice to meet you. I'm your grandfather. Why are your parents not here?
I want to know what the relationship is with, like, between him and their parents. Because obviously it's strained. If they haven't met him for 8 years, but also they're like, we just fucking take him. They've just been dropped off without supervision. So there's a lot of, like, messed up family dynamics happening.
Also, I want to say they are very young. I mean, I don't know. They're,
you
like,
said
drawn
about eight.
Yeah, they're drawn kind of inconsistently. They're definitely preteen.
Yeah. They're the most, well, I say they. John, who gets lines and things to do, is the most badass 8-year-old I've ever met, I've ever seen.
He handles a weapon with grace.
He does. And Jillian.
Or Gillian. I don't know. It could go either way.
Like, that's her last line that Joe just read.
It's not. She has more lines than that. But barely.
She has two more lines.
And then I think it's, help! Help!
Like, we got to the end of the comic and I was like, oh yeah, there's a second child in this. I freaking forgot. She hasn't done anything.
They basically get in there and they press a button on the console and get whisked away to
the 29th?
29th, 30th, it varies from issue to issue.
Got it.
29th
okay.
century or the 30th century. Because this issue, he says, we're rushing headlong into the future to the 29th century. But then later they say 30th century and they say the past is the 29th century at one point. So it's
so they just went right past the 29th century into the 30th.
Yeah, sure. That sounds very doctory. I want to say the TARDIS almost said apparates, like it's Harry Potter. The TARDIS disappears and reappears differently in the comics.
By spinning.
Yeah, it spins. And I guess that's so that they can have like some, because it's a comic book, and like just, you can't really fade out. So it's just
let them do something visually.
It's just like a little spring. It's like a tornado is what it looks like, but it doesn't taper. It's just.
They land on this Thane planet, and, like, Johnny immediately, like, KOs two aliens.
Well, first off, I want to say, they get there, the doctor's like, let's open the doors and go out! He doesn't check his scanner, which is established in the show at this point.
Sure.
But they're like, no, let's just go right out into an alien invasion.
Let's say that was for, like, the grace of pace.
The grace of pace.
Yeah.
Alright, I mean, this comic definitely has a faster pace than the show sometimes.
But, oh, what are
the Kleptons.
Kleptons, yeah. They have these big glass bubble ships, and, like, John just tosses, like, one rock at it, and it cracks and crashes instantly. Yeah. And he was like, well, great. He just straight up murdered two aliens right off the bat.
That's what you want to do, so your first time out.
That's a good start.
Yeah, because it was like the ship was abducting Gillian, or yes. Jillian, and like he broke it and she fell, was perfectly fine.
Yeah.
It looked like she was quite a ways up there, but she just lands fine.
But anyway, the reason why this is kind of funny is because the Thanes are like, we don't have any weapons, so how can we defeat them?
They're very much like the Thals.
They're so peaceful at this point. And the doctor's like, well, don't you have any museums? We'll get some weapons from there. And they do. They do. They have a weapons museum, and they've got heat guns in there that are centuries old, but it's the only weapons on the whole planet anymore.
I do want to say the doctor does straight up, they're like, we're helpless and hopeless, and the doctor's like, we straight up beat one of them with a fucking rock. So
they're not that hard to defeat.
But yeah,
don't make your spaceships glass bubbles. Like, come on.
Don't fly so low either, maybe. But yeah, the doctor and John are like very much like, let's teach the Thanes to kill. They're like very bloodthirsty almost. And they do.
You gotta fight.
But the doctor is not satisfied with just teaching them how to murder. He's like, I want to follow them to their base and just burn them from the inside.
Yeah.
So he takes one of the crashed ships, probably the one John broke with a fucking rock, and works on it to fix it up. And then another Klepton shows up and's like, oh, by the way, remember, we hate you. Give up. Be our slaves. And they're like, what do they want us to do? And he's like, anyway, I'm going to go back now and tell them that. They're like, we won't be your slaves. And they're like, ah, shit. Well, I'm going to go back and tell our leaders that. And the doctor's like, yeah. And the doctor's like, great. Now we can follow them in this ship. I think it's also around that point that the doctor realizes they can't really breathe air, because that's why the bubble.
Once the bubble broke, they like lost whatever they could breathe, and that's why they crashed so easily.
And because this is like 2 pages every issue, like every second page has like a very forced cliffhanger that usually is just like this one, they like fly and they're like, oh no, there's a building in the way. And then the next issue, it's like, oh, it's fine.
This is my favorite one because like visually, it's not even that like concerning. They're like, we're going to hit that building. And then it's like, we just, like, the next panel is like, we just barely missed it. And I'm like, none of that is conveyed visually at all. It is just in the text, which happens a lot, where it's just like, this drawing is barely related to, like, the dialogue that's happening.
I made notes for this a long time ago, and there's some jokes in here. We kind of skipped over, there's a bit where, like, the creeper grabs John while they're working on the ship.
Yeah.
And there's a bit where the doctor shoots the creeper with the gun. And, like, Gillian feels it's important to mention to the doctor that he not shoot John. Anyway, sorry. But, yeah, they lose track of the Klepton that they're following. But then they get sucked underwater, pulled underwater.
The whole city's underwater, and the Kleptons are, like, bringing them in as prisoners.
That's another cliffhanger, by the way. Oh, no, we're going to crash into this building under the sea. Next issue. Oh, no, it opened up and, like, let us in.
There was a hatch. They were doing it on purpose, and we weren't going to just make us crash. They get taken as prisoners, and they're in, like, the cell, and they're trying to figure out how to get out. And John's like, oh, yeah, here's this gun I forgot I had. That might help. I forgot I had it, you guys. It's just been in my back pocket.
This thing is so full of clunky exposition. Because even when they land in there for the first time, the doctor is just like, this is how the air works. And then there's water comes in here, and then the water goes out. Like, unimportant shit.
He's explaining the airlock of how the ships work. And even, like, John in the comic is like, who cares? I want to shoot some more things. I've tasted blood.
They spend 5 panels discussing this fucking airlock. And then just 1 panel of John going, oh yeah, and I have a gun.
There's also 1 panel where he's visually describing the airlock with his words in his dialogue.
Look, there's more bubble ships. Like, we see them.
Thank you for the description in this visual medium.
We also, they get taken to the Kleptons before they get put in that cell. And we learn their whole, like, they basically want these slave labor.
Well, they're like, what's your deal? What's your plan? And the Kleptons are like, we're here to enslave the Thanes. Like, I don't understand why you guys aren't getting this. We want to enslave the Thanes so that they can do all of our work for us and we don't have to do it.
Yeah, and they give a bit of their backstory too, which is that the sun came too close to the planet and forced them to go underwater.
Yep.
Now they want the Thanes to, they want to be slave labor to power their reactor, which... I said reactor. They want them to power the reactor so that they have energy and light and all that shit.
And like,
which they had no reason to tell them that. They didn't need to tell them that.
Well, we had to get some exposition out of them somehow.
But yeah, then they get put in the cell and he uses the gun to burn his way out. And then John's like, let's get out of here. And the doctor's like, oh no, wait, this is the Doctor Who. We have to save all the prisoners. This makes no sense to me. They come to the prison camp.
Mm-hmm.
Where all the slave labor is. And they keep talking about how they don't want to be turned into slaves, even though they already are slaves. But there's a big, giant fence, electrified fence, that the doctor just turns off somehow.
Yeah, there's one panel that says, careful, doctor, the fence is electrified. And the next panel says, the doctor turned off the electricity. I was like, why did you even bother?
Also, speaking of, like, there's a lot of also just like, this happens next. And there's so many panels that just say, next moment. For no reason. It's a comic. We understand.
I'm going to go ahead and assume it's the next moment.
I assumed this panel took place during the previous panel. You know how like in Back to the Future Part 2, he goes back to the first movie? I thought it was a lot like that. We were seeing the same thing from a different angle. I'm glad there was that next moment narration panel.
You're angry.
Next moment. It's just the most it's as useless as then, which it also does 50 times. There's a lot of repeated dialogue. There's that. There's blast them to atoms.
I'm going to blast them to atoms.
And dead or alive is used like 8 times. Okay, so yeah, they de-electrify the fence. And instead of letting the prisoners out, they go in?
They hide there.
Why?
They don't have a plan yet. They gotta come up with a plan.
Has that ever stopped the doctor before?
I mean, no.
He always makes a plan up on the go. So, yeah, they go in, and the guards are very easily distracted. The kleptons come in,
and they're like, hello, we are looking for escaped prisoners, so we're taking all but 3 of the guards away. Okay, bye! Don't try to escape or anything!
Also, they ask them, have you seen the prisoners? And they're like, no, they probably left. And they don't even, like, search the place. They just like, cool, and leave. They're not too bright. The doctor rallies the prisoners via a speech that is not even really a speech. He's just like, hey, we should come up with a plan and destroy the reactor. And they're like, yes, we're with you, doctor. Very easily swayed, these things. They sort of start revolting or whatever, and they
attack the 3 guards that are there to get more weapons, first of all. And, like, I say they. It's John. It's 90% John.
John, like, shoots them.
The 8-year-old.
Like, with this heat gun, he shoots the kleptons. There's one bit where he, like, shoots it. I think this might be earlier when they escape the cell. He, like, shoots one of the kleptons and is like, here you go, doctor. Throws the gun over his shoulder like he's Bruce fucking Willis. And the doctor catches the gun. He's like, you take out this one and I'll take out this one. And the doctor hits him over the head, one of the kleptons over the head with a gun. And John just straight up fucking punches one of them in the face. He's 8 fucking years old and he's punching these kleptons in the face. I don't know if that says good things about John or really bad things about the kleptons. But yeah, they run into this room where there's this klepton terrarium thing. And that's where the creepers grow. So they find the thing that where the creepers that have been destroying the city, which we haven't really talked about that much. These like giant vines come up out of the ground and attack the things and stuff. And they're hiding out behind that while the guards are shooting at them. And it like they break open the thing. The creepers sort of snake out of there. And one of the kleptons shoots a wheel on the creeper plant holder.
Terrarium.
And it moves the wheel. And the doctor's like, huh, that caused the creepers to move in a different direction. I know what to do now. He uses the wheel to direct the creepers to take out the kleptons. And then he's like, now I'm going to use that to take out the
reactor
that gives them their power and
energy. He's going to blow it all up.
So there's also this panel of the doctor running with the vine chasing him as it's heading towards the reactor. And the doctor's head is so fucking big and his body is so small. It's just really badly drawn, which we'll talk about the art in a second. Let's get through the story real quick. So the creepers attack the reactor. Everybody rushes to the airlock. all of the Thanes get on, get in a bubble. And also, like, John's just ready to keep shooting them. And the doctor's like, the doors are closing. This place is going to fill up with water. We need to get out of here. The doors are closing, so they won't get through. But he's, like, saying all of this, this huge paragraph as the doors are closing. And they need to get moving. Like, they would have drowned and be dead by now. But they get out of there. They fly out of there. They get out just in time as the reactor explodes, killing all of the kleptons.
Yeah.
Destroying them. And
that's they're like, fine. Yay. They're bad people.
Genocide. They fly back to the Thanes. The Thanes have their, like, typical, oh, thank you, doctor. Please stick around and share your wisdom and all that jazz. Which is, like, that was, like, the most Doctor Who thing I felt like in this comic was the whole, please stay, doctor. And yeah. The doctor's like, nah. And they get back in the TARDIS and the doctor's like, well, I should drop you two off back in the 20th century.
Can you read John's dialogue word for word, please?
In the last page?
Yeah, I like all it. Right.
Well, I suppose I'd better try to get you children back to the 20th century.
Is that your partner?
Yeah, it's bad.
Nailed it.
I don't care what century we arrive in. I'm sure we'll have loads of adventures anyway. And that's the end of the Klepton Parasites.
How many of these are there?
I'm not sure. A lot? I mean, it eventually became the second Doctor, became the third Doctor.
But they're like all Doctor Who?
Mm-hmm. Okay, here's another thing. It was later retconned. Like, they actually brought, this is not canon, because obviously it's not canon.
Right.
But they did a thing that made it canon. There's an Eighth Doctor comic that just says it was all a dream. It was all one of his dreams.
Whose dream? The Doctor's dream?
The Doctor's dream, yeah.
The comics are all just a weird dream that the Doctor had?
Yeah.
For years? Or what?
I guess. Also, I think at one point, I may be wrong here, but I think at one point, I'm pretty sure these went up to the Fourth Doctor. I might be confusing it with a different, like, Doctor Who comic, but I think there was a bit where they would just reuse, like, it'd be like a Fourth Doctor adventure, but they would just reuse the Third Doctor and, like, just redraw his face.
Oh, no, really?
Yeah. But, yeah, that's, I'm not sure how long this particular version ran. And I know the guy who, I've read a few of these already. Neville Main is the guy who draws them, I believe. His name's on all of them. I don't know if he writes them. Sometimes his art, I think, is really good. And then other times it is really fucking terrifying.
It's just like close-ups that are like too close and you're like, why?
And like the body proportions and the facial features are all wonky.
Yeah. John occasionally looks like a man.
Or a gremlin. So it's very, like, rushed sometimes.
Which I imagine it was, a lot of it was just like, make a Doctor Who comic. We literally do not care, like, what it is like. We just want it done.
And it's all black and white. It's gray. It's not colored.
Could you further explain what black and white means to me?
It means there is a lack of blues, reds, greens, yellows, pinks, purples, browns, magenta. I'm running out of colors.
What about cyan? Cyan in there?
Maybe. But it's not very good. I mean, it's fine for what it is. There are some later ones that do some interesting things that I've read before, and I'm excited to get to those. But
so here's my question for you.
Yeah.
As, like, the main person doing this, how many of these comics can you read and make episodes where you're like, it wasn't very good?
We'll see.
Like, how sustaining do you think this plan is?
I mean, this is just bonus episodes, though, so it's just a little fluff to go between. And I get to make jokes about the dumb things that happen in these comics. Because, like, some of it is, like, interestingly stupid.
That is what I was kind of wondering. Because, like, you had sent me a couple of, like, panels of one of them.
That's actually, yeah, I would just send people random panels from these comics because they're just...
And they're great.
They're brilliantly bizarre. I know there's an interesting thing with potatoes coming up. Also, the Zarby comeback.
Yeah, the Zarby is the one that I was actually thinking of. There was a specific panel with Zarby in it. And, like, it was, like, the doctor being picked up by him and he was like, oh, no. I remember there being, like, a lack of, like, urgency.
Yeah, that's the thing about these comics, is that they're so straightforward and, like, just let's get through it, that, like, sometimes it just leads to the most bizarre juxtaposition of, like, things. It's just so there.
It does feel like the characters are kind of, like, rushing through the story themselves, like, All right, we did A, we did B. Let's see. I guess the next thing is we're going to go ahead and do C. Does that sound good to everybody? Okay. Like,
I mean, the introduction of John and Gillian is the weirdest fucking thing. Like, we're looking for our grand... Like, there's no context. It just... If you think about it for 2 seconds, you're like, wait a second. What? We don't meet their parents. They seem to be just dropped off in the middle of the street with an address to find their grandfather. They're not even sure.
They've never met.
They've never met.
In the 8 years that they've been alive.
This could not even... This is possibly not their grandfather. They just walked into some strange weirdo.
They got the wrong address.
And this guy's like, fine, I'll kidnap some kids. We'll go on some adventures. That's not totally out of character for the doctor.
Not particularly.
I don't know. It's just so bizarre. I don't understand why we got John and Gillian in the first place. Why didn't they just do Susan? Did they want younger? But, like, just do a younger Susan.
Was it rights?
I don't know. Maybe. Because, I mean, Susan was actually out of the show by the time this started. No, wait. No, she wasn't. She was out of it by the time this specific run ended. Because it started during Planet of Giants and ran through Dalek.
Well, now, what
were
Cushing? Because Cushing had... Oh, it was Barbara in Susan, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Who they were both his...
Maybe there were Roddy shoes, but they mean they have William Hartnell.
That is probably the weirdest thing to me. Is that it's like, it's 100%... It's William Hartnell, whose name is Doctor who has like these two grandchildren characters who don't make sense. It's...
And they're Earthlings.
It just seems like a weird... I mean, I know at the point that this was being put out and none of the like canon stuff was established. None of the like Gallifrey, Time Lords, none
well,
of that.
I mean, the fact that they're from another planet for sure is...
You're right. That was definitely established. I think what's weird about it is, like, today, like, the BBC would never let this happen. Like, we actually, when we, like, started airing them on Retro, we got, like, a Bible forum, and you actually cannot call the Doctor Who in, like, official, like, promoting and stuff. As much as I, as a fan, am like, don't tell people they can't call the Doctor Who. You can. You can do whatever you want. That was one of my favorite scenes in New Who, where the Doctor got called Doctor Who, and he was like, I like it. I was like, yeah. It made me really happy. Because I firmly believe that, you know, I feel like the whole, like, his name is the Doctor is a lot of times used by, like, gatekeepers. And, like, at this point, the show's been going on so long. Like, if you can't make fun of it, like... If you can't have fun with it, then, like, you're boring. but, like, officially, you know, like, in promoting it and stuff, the character is the Doctor, and there's all these, like, rules and stuff. So the fact that there's, like, this comic that occupies this weird semi-official space amuses me a whole bunch.
It honestly feels like it's stuck somewhere between the show and the movies.
Yeah.
The Cushing movies. It's in this weird limbo. I enjoy it because it's so weird, though. But it makes me feel uncomfortable a little bit.
it's like an uncanny valley version of Doctor Who.
And part of that's just the way that it's drawn.
You're like, this is almost, but not quite, like Doctor Who.
And it's also almost, but not quite, William Hartnell. Because sometimes it looks like he's tracing it, but sometimes it's just like, I don't think you know how a face looks. Yeah, that was the Klepton Parasites.
Is that our bonus episode?
That's our bonus episode.
Did we bonus it up?
Yeah.
Do we have to take a break?
No.
I don't get to tell you what time it is?
No.
Oh, man.
Yeah, these bonus episodes are like that.
Can I tell you what time it is anyway?
Sure. It's, there you go.
It's 9:26.
That's it for now. The next thing I'm going to be doing, I don't think Tony's going to be joining on this one. It is Doctor Who and an exciting adventure with the Daleks.
I'll tell you what. You tell me if they're funny and I'll join you.
Well, this one's not a comic.
What is it?
It's a novelization.
Oh, shit, no.
Yeah, I figured you might join for the comics, but not the
novelization. I don't got time, man. Yeah. I got naps to take.
But the next one we're doing is Doctor Who and an Exciting Adventure with the Daleks, which is a novelization of the Daleks, the first Dalek serial. But yeah, it's I've already read it and I know there's some weird stuff in it, so that'll be fun. Hey, thanks. Thanks for being a Patreon patron.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much. Because, like, honestly, right now, we are in the situation where recently-ish, we upgraded our hosting, and we have better stats and stuff, and we were able to do that. I say upgraded. We were literally hosting on Archive.
Yeah.
Which was not, like, a great solution. and so we moved over to...
Libsyn.
And we were able to do that.
Because of you guys.
Because of patrons. And we appreciate that so much. Like, the fact that we're able to sort of pay for the podcast with the podcast really makes sure that we're going to keep doing it.
Yeah. And I figure this is a good way to give you guys a little extra content, a little bonus podcast episodes. Though I might put this up for our Christmas special as also a way to entice other people to
Merry Christmas.
Yeah, if you're listening to this and we put this up as a Christmas episode, Merry Christmas! Happy holidays, etc. But it get people to sort of entice them to, yeah,
we
to check
super,
out more.
Super, super appreciate all of our patrons. You guys are
especially
the,
you.
Yes, especially you listening to this right now. You guys are the best. You guys are awesome. And also, like, the patrons, I feel like, are also the people who I have a tendency to, like, hear from a lot on Twitter or on like, the Patreon Tumblr. Page or Tumblr. And that's absolutely rad.
Yeah. Thank you, guys.
If you'd like to be a patron, by the way, and, like, you can't, the next best thing you could do is just, like, bother your friends and, like, make them listen to the podcast. That would be real cool. That would be real cool of you, too.
Yeah. Please do that. Please, please let everyone you know about the Watchathon of Rass Along.
Yeah.
I guess that's it. Thank you. Thank you for listening.
Thanks.
Keep calm and Rass Along.
Goodbye, and I love you so much. So much.
We're not beaten yet. I've got one of the heat guns the Thanes gave us. I'd forgotten I had it until now. This'll help us turn the tables on the Kleptons.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping through Amazon.com or the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.